Let's get this puppy started. So, does anybody have anything they want to talk about or bring up or a dream or anything?
Yeah, I do. I just wanted to note that I get really, I guess it's accurate to say I upset myself something terrible on occasion when I slip right out of everything that I've ever held dear and forever living and just thoroughly moved into body and body reaction and victimhood and the whole shooting match. And I get overwhelmed by that. And sometimes it takes me many hours to somehow get myself out of it. And it's terrible that it comes on so powerful. And then if I give it enough time and I just relax out of it, I guess, in so many ways, I move back to where I would rather be. I wonder if anybody else experiences that.
Well, the key thing is that you realize it and move back. So that's the important thing. Do any of us, I think that we can all say that we have moments of losing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I fall off the horse, I crash on the ground hard. But it is, I want back on the horse, and that's all there is to it.
See, so as long as you recognize that, you know, just brush it off and get back on the horse.
Alrighty.
Did you observe something about the inducers?
Let's see. This last round is a...
Who was playing with pills or something?
What was that?
Somebody's playing with pills or something. It's making a racket on this phone.
Well, that's what it sounded like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the inducers,
sorry, me.
The inducers, probably, let's see, where I take on responsibility that is not mine. In this case, it was a dispute I was having with my son. And of the four kids that I have, he's the one that I tend to be the closest with. And when I end up disputing with him, I can get myself out of gear. And I think the inducer would be that I take on responsibilities that aren't mine to really have, that he's absolutely free to live as he lives, whatever that is. And I get in a knot about whether or not I should try to change him or whether it seems to me what it ultimately gets down to, should I live as I desire or should I live relative to his response to me? And I can get tangled up in that.
And what do you think your answer really is?
It's what is it that I want to live, regardless of what he's living, what do I want to live and express in his life?
Okay, so you see that. That's the important thing.
Yeah, that's where I finally got back to it, to be so clear.
And the thing that you need to remember is that the hardest people to try to offer this understanding to is family.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost like we're on a different planet sometimes.
So I don't even try unless, you know, they would make some kind of, you have something I want. Why don't you share that with me? Because I've gotten my fingers burned too many times.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's it. It's almost impossible to have a conversation. They're talking about something that, and I try to tell myself I should be adaptable enough to talk in both worlds, and I end up not being able to eventually.
Well,
that's how I feel often with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
not about that I mold her to be as I am or to understand what I understand, and mm-hmm. although she always gives herself as open to everything. She has her belief system, and I don't have it anymore.
Mhm. Yeah, wow. Actually, at one point when I was stewing in my own stuff, I brought myself to a thought of, gosh, this can be very, very lonely. Or that's what I've created for myself in that sense, that in holding true to what I understand my own principles are now of life, it seems to that it's very lonely. The conversations I have with people are measured. I know where they're at. I'm as open and honest as I know how to be, but I know where they're at, and I know that there are times when they're simply not going to be prepared for the level of honesty that I'd like to be engaged in. So it's a different world. It's an interesting place.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're here for. You can get on this phone and kick us around.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Mr.
Level of honesty, right?
Yeah.
So my question, Pat, is, so you said you get back on the horse, or whatever you said exactly. What do you actually do to help you get back on the horse, specifically?
Well, I can tell you what I did, like from about 4 o'clock in the morning on, trying various techniques myself, and that I was very much looking for and trying to engage the communion, and I wasn't very successful at that. But then where it went, and I found my way back to me, is I had a request to make a call to a friend of mine who, after we took care of the business at hand, he's been diagnosed with throat cancer, and I asked him how things were going. And he started telling me how, well, the details. He's been to the cancer agency, and he's in Vancouver tomorrow for the PET scan, and da-da-da-da-da, and he's telling me what he's going to do and not going to do. And but the overriding thing, what he kept on talking about is, hey, you know, I got too much going on in my life to get dragged down by this. I hardly ever think about right now. I'm already always thinking about what I'm going to do next. And it's, you know, this, yeah, I got to handle this. He says, that's what I got to do. But, you know, I'm not going to get hung up on this. I'm just too involved in everything that I'm doing. And tears started coming into my eyes as I was saying silently to myself, well, bless you, Joe, and his name is Joe Allen. And bless you, Joe, for being an inspiration, that here you are in the middle, you got a cancer diagnosis, and all you're concerned about is you want to get on with doing what you want to do. And I said, thank you very much, Joe. Thank you very much. And I found my way back to, you know, the focus on as I live, and no matter whatever the hell else is going on. I was blessed with that opportunity. I brought Joe into my life. We've been friends for a long time. And that was ultimately the trick, that I was able to let go of all my stuff and say, oh, right, that's exactly it. I am free to live as I desire. If Joe can do it when he's facing a cancer diagnosis, I sure as hell can do it. And he's doing something different than me, but it's the principle there.
I have a question. Does anybody else, like, go back to their, what do we call it, like, you know, with we used to call it your forever living purpose or whatever. Like, I always find that no matter what is going on, especially if I'm in conflict, I have learned to take myself back to seeing things in fineness, showing fineness, no matter what I do, looking at the other person who is, you know, I'm troubling about, from the point of view of fineness. And I have found that no matter what I do from that point on, consistently taking that step, putting that into my life, I never regret what I do. And it's like, kind of like keeps, it has helped me steer out of a whole lot of things that I'm sure would have become conflicts or problems or things I regretted saying or doing. I just wonder, does anybody else use their, like, reading that Roger gave them in that way?
I do.
Sure. Yeah, me too.
But I also use the thing of, is this how I want to spend this precious life? You know, if I get into something. And, of course, I know what the answer is. So I bring myself out of it very quickly. And refocus myself with what you spoke about. So that's how I do it.
I've just found that the more consistently I put this into my life, or put this kind of action into my life, I just guess I don't go there as much as I used to anymore. And strangely, circumstances tend to resolve in ways that I find not undesirable. But that's a side issue. The more important one is what I find I'm doing or I'm able to do.
Yeah, I try that too. But sometimes I need help from another person.
What?
To bring me back on track, let's say. Yes.
Man, Simone, I wish you wouldn't do that.
What?
What?
I wish you wouldn't look for someone else to do it for you or to help you.
Not
That's
for
the
me.
Opportunity right there. It's like when we're, to me anyway, when we're faced with something that we don't, like say, know how to deal with real well or whatever, right? So I find myself struggling with something. That's the opportunity to realize you're bigger than this and you can do something. That's, personally, I find our opportunity for self-actualization. And the important thing
I don't really understand you.
Yeah. If you're looking for someone else to help you, I think that is a mistake.
He's saying that you're depowering yourself in doing that.
And the only reason I'm saying this, Simone, is not because I'm being mean. It's because I really care about you, you know, having the life you want. You're one of us, man. I mean, especially because you're one of us, the family, right? And I just hear it in little ways.
I know I am.
I know, but I hear it in little ways. Like the last year or two, it's like you seem to me to want someone to help you first. And
not
I
sure.
just think that's the problem. I'm my perspective. You can correct me about that. I'm just saying my perspective is I've heard it in a number of ways. You want someone else to help you first.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I always tried by myself at the beginning. And when I realized that I cannot go back on the horse, someone. And by the way, I also remember Roger saying that sometimes it's too incestuous to think about yourself by yourself.
Right, but can't, you know, it's not a matter of can't, it's a matter of what will you do. Are you willing to put something into your life? Not solve
and
the problem.
When I look for help, then I look for help in the forever living community.
What if you looked at it like, I remember Roger used to say he'd pose himself a question in the morning, and then he would expect the answer to somehow show up through the day in whatever he did. And you know, Pat had asked him, I mean, Pat was trying really hard to change his mind about something, and then along came Joe, and it wasn't that Joe did it to him, but Joe was a convenient trigger or a catalyst. And maybe, is that what you're saying, Simone? Is that you're just, it's not that other people are doing it to you or for you, but it is, I mean, the you know, the world out there is you anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Does that work for you, Andrew? Like,
Hey, you know, you don't have to agree with or like what I said.
I know.
Said that very directly so that I just, my personal hearing has been catching this for about, like I say, about 2 years. And I just was thinking about it today. It's like, I'm not sure, you know, what to say to Simone when I hear this. So I just took a direct approach right there as a hope that that would help. It's not about that you never will have help, but it's about when we set ourselves up wanting help or needing help. That is just destructive. That is absolutely destructive,
I know that.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I know that.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's thank you, Karen. It's more what I try to express is more what you just said. It's another trigger to bring me back on track. I mean, anyway, when I get some help and let's say some support, I'm the one who has to do it.
But you could
bring me back.
Because it's help out. Wait. Why is it you're the one who has to do it? Why is it that you're the one who gets to do it? The privilege of your life is you get to put it into your life.
Okay, excuse me, I'm not a native speaker.
No, I think you said it fine.
You do catch me there on words. I know that I get to do it, but when I speak spontaneous, I am not, I try to express myself, yes.
All right.
It's okay, Andrew. I understand your point.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything they wanted to speak about?
I want to thank Karen for reminding me that more directly that I can. As she remembered about what Roger suggested, that he would often start the day with a question and then get on with living, confident that the answer would show up in his living in the day.
Yes, he always felt that. Or it would show up in a reading, or it would show up in a dream, or it would show up in a book.
Or in the news, on TV.
Yeah, any place. And all of a sudden, he can make the connections and get his answer to whatever it was.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good idea, too. Yeah.
If Karen's bringing that up reminded me that it doesn't have to be a problem, it's just a question. Ask a question in the morning and the answer will arrive. What a neat idea. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I had an interesting one this last week because I was trying to figure out how I could best communicate with my sisters and my mother as she was passing. And I kept looking for an answer for a way to do it. And in walks Jennifer, who hasn't been around for months. And she looks at me and says, well, why don't you do face chat? And I said, well, because she's on an iPhone and I have an analog. And I said, it's very difficult to do it on there. But then I took from that and extrapolated from that and said, well, I could get on that thing on Facebook where you do the video chats, because my sister is on there, and hooked into her phone. And then we set it up on a on a little stand, and it was like my sitting right there in the room with them. So it was a very interesting experience.
Neato.
So that's
wow. So that was while your mom was going.
Yeah, I was on the phone 2 days with her. Thursday, I spent most of the day playing guitar, and we were reminiscing and basically doing a living memorial for her.
Mm.
And she would respond little ways and open her eyes when she would hear certain songs, and you knew that she was hearing it and she was experiencing it because it was, you know, right on cue. It wasn't like she didn't know. And for somebody who's had Alzheimer's for 10 years to be responding in this way, which she hadn't been doing much of, it was quite interesting. She knew my voice. As soon as she heard my voice, tears started coming out of her eyes because she hadn't heard me for quite a while. And so it was an interesting experience. So most of that day we did that. And I knew how she was closing down since my experience with Roger, so I knew that we could most likely go to bed that night and be okay till morning, because I knew how she was progressing. So the next morning we got on, and then I started seeing the signs, and I said, well, she'll be going before very long. And within 2 hours, she was gone. But with all of us there, all of us in one form or another. Monica was there one day and then on the Facebook chat the next day. And Nina was with her. And then my nephew and his fiance and her husband. So it was like family gathering around her. And we were with her the whole time. So it was a very interesting experience. But it was interesting how you look for the answer of how I can do this because I know I can't get there in time. And I would be wasting my time on a plane and everything else and just to get there and be too late. So,
wow.
It was an interesting experience. So this is what Andrew's kind of talking about. This is what you're talking about is to pay attention and just make the connections and put it together. So it turned out to be a really wonderful experience for all of us involved and allowed me to reconnect with my sisters, which was a nice thing too. So
yeah.
And now my sister, who really thought she couldn't stand me, realizes, I think I really like her. So
she Which sister was that?
Nina.
Oh, interesting. She
wants to be in touch now and stay in touch. And so it was an interesting experience along those lines. So that is my sharing.
You were being authentic. You were being authentic to yourself. And when you let that authentic being be there, that also changes their view.
Yep. And so now I have a sister that wants to be part of my life, okay?
Mm.
I've always wanted to be part of hers, but I was okay
That's
if she
great.
Didn't want to, and now she does, so it's interesting.
I had a little
Where is she living?
My mom is in Upper New York State.
Cold.
East Coast.
Mm-hmm. And your sister?
Yeah, the two sisters live in Upper New York State too, though they live up like 3 hours apart. So you were going to say something, Sharon?
Oh, well, mine's a little anticlimactic, but it was a little bit exciting nevertheless, and that is that I have been trying to wrestle in my mind with dealing with catching up with taxes
okay? And so it was something that was discontenting me. And I finally just said, shut up, you know? This is ridiculous. Start thinking positive. Just image that it's going to be okay. That you don't know how it's going to be okay, but it's going to come out okay. And so that's what I did. And then called my accountant and, yeah, I just feel like it's all going to work perfectly.
Great.
Yeah, so a little anticlimactic, but still a little bit, you know, working the tool, bringing the tools in to recognize that it is what the way I see it, so.
And that's not anticlimactic, that's just as important as any of the other things we've spoken about this evening.
Yeah, and it's and recognizing that it's just my own, creating my own discontent.
What means anti-clay?
Semantic. Well, just
yes,
because it wasn't, it's taxes are always dramatic, but it's not the same as transitions of people from here, you know.
It's not as important.
Coming.
Yeah, it's less
coming
important.
Off of Misty's story, you know, because Misty's story is, that's a big transition thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's all I meant by it. But I was still happy that, you know, it was just a satisfying feeling that, you know, instead of going into a spiral, I just faced it and picked up the phone, had a great meeting with the accountant, met with him, and, you know, I just feel very confident things are going to be fine.
That's great.
So that's why, yeah. It's the same step, and for me, that's a big step. to not fall into that victim trap.
Mm-hmm. Well, super.
Anyway.
Does anybody else have anything they want to talk about? Okay, then we'll get back to our reading. I believe we're on 343.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
343.
Yeah.
Oh, I passed that. Okay, 343.
I have a mark, Darius.
Okay. So, am I first?
Oh, yeah. We've kind of got this down to an art now.
All right. Well, with the incipit that we have now set with our discussion, let's see what we can see. 343, in your body, the sugar extracted from eating a banana is transfigured in your brain such that thoughts are emergent. And oxygen and protein are transfigured as muscle power such that actions and activities are emergent. And of course, these doings and deeds did not occur in the constituents of oxygen and protein. Emergent is everywhere in the world around you.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Karen?
Yeah.
344.
The universe not only prepares an environment for you and fully supports you in that environment by not interfering, the universe also offers you forgiveness and complete transfiguration as you desire. But there is more.
Oh, what could that be? 345. Entanglements offer guidance and expansion. Emergent offers forgiveness and transformation. And even transfiguration from death to life. In other words, everything God is credited with doing for you, for a price of faith and obedience, and even fear, is freely offered by the universe. No questions asked by you. No intentions or conditions imposed upon you. Nothing is ever withheld from you. Nothing is ever required of you in return. This is more fully explained in book 64.
the God that never was.
In this context, what is Roger referring to as forgiveness?
Well, he talks about, like, death is a forgiveness in a sense because it allows you to begin again. And so I think that for him, forgiveness really is just beginning again.
No matter what before.
Yeah. It's just beginning again.
Okay. But remember last week he was talking about the constituents don't go forward with you, and through emergent there is, you leave those things in the past. I wonder if that's a reference as well.
Yeah. It's basically that also is a new beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
But yes, I agree.
You know, in that regard, we could probably be very fruitful looking at death as an emergent.
Oh, it is.
Well, we normally think of putting two or more things together, but in this case, I don't know, maybe it is something coming together, I don't know. Maybe it's something coming apart.
Yeah, it's more something coming apart with an emergent.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bond between the physical and the eternal is broken, and that's a coming apart, and the emergent is whatever comes out of that.
Just for the thinking about it, to me it seems that it's not just going back to the pieces that were there before. In this case, depending on how a person has lived their life, that whole action and memory of self that you've lived into that lifetime creates like yourself as a whole different constituent in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You won't necessarily go back where you came. You could, I guess. I don't know.
Well, at this point, we have no way of knowing, but...
Just what ifs, that's all. Just to continually stir our thinks.
Yeah. Okay, Patrick, 346, please.
All right, 346. Transfiguring yourself such that a completely new and different you is emergent is a normal and natural godlike offspring of the universe. And just as you appear today as an embodied transfiguration of your original self-concept and your beginning story, you are a vital emergent property of the universe. And there is never any judgment of you. The unconditionally emergent universe fully abides with you, for there is no love or support in any judgment. And regardless of what you have been told and taught to believe, no judgment is ever loving. That's another one. What a mouthful. Passage.
Bye.
Can I read it again, please?
Could you snuggle up more to the mic, if you will?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Transfiguring yourself such that a completely new and different you is emergent is a normal and natural godlike offering of the universe. And just as you appear today as an embodied transfiguration of your original self-concept and your beginning story, you are a vital emergent property of the universe. Bingo. Bingo, bingo. And there is never any judgment of you. The unconditionally emergent universe fully abides with you, for there is no love or support in any judgment. And regardless of what you have been told and taught to believe, no judgment is ever loving. Mm-hmm. Remember our conversation last week, and I was wondering, that you are a vital emergent property of the universe. So we've come alive as an emergent action.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Oh, absolutely.
That is,
yeah.
How can you judge that? That's right. How do you, could you ever fucking judge that? It's amazing.
Okay, let's see, who's next? Sharon?
Uh-huh. 347. Emergence is reliable, consistent, and dependable. Fully and unconditionally.
All right.
Endorses and sustains you, and never says no. What more could you desire of the world around you? Is it possible you are too struggling trying to cause what you want or cause what you believe your God wants from you that you cannot understand or even see these things and be the becauser of everything you truly desire?
Yes, that can be sometimes.
Yeah.
Everybody okay with all of this so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just pretty profound.
Okay, Simone.
348. Not understanding emergent, the forgiveness and expansion offered by emergent, nor your natural but vital place in an emergent universe, you wanted to cause what you desire, so you still do today. And what you desire most of all, in all these beginning times, was a personal identity or self. So you could be alive and worldly and be somebody and even be distinguishable. This was not a matter of being better or special, only recognizable and self-evident. So, though maybe you also wanted to be a little conspicuous.
What does
conspicuous mean?
Conspicuous is that you stand out. You're noticeable.
Oh, a little special. No.
Well, noticeable anyway. Noticeable.
Okay. You wanted a likeness that clearly portrayed the concept you had of yourself, and without judging you. The universe emergently accommodated you with a personal self, such that you became a communion eternal personal self. As before, we must interrupt this discussion to mention again that the universe does not forgive you, for though not judging you is no forgiveness in advance.
No, is forgiveness.
Not judging you is forgiveness in advance, yes. The universe offers you even more. You are anointed. Anointed one. What does that mean?
Blessed.
Specially blessed.
Okay. You are to bring about a particular state or condition in the world today, which is your beginning concept, and there is certainly no judgment in that.
Okay. Did we get Susan on
That's
here?
That's what...
Oh, go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I think that was Patrick just said before. That birth is an emergent action. And And if you do not judge, there is no forgiveness necessary. Yeah.
That makes it simple, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Okay. So I guess we're back around to you, Andrew.
Can I stop that there for a second?
Absolutely.
That this good old who is the you again, the Y-O-U, in the third line, so you still do today, and what you desired most of all in those beginning times was a personal identity or self. Now there's a you that desired something in those beginning times. Is that pre-embodiment or is that as we embody?
I think that he's. Remember when we talked about the bubble?
Yep.
And how you could sit in that bubble and contemplate and think about and do all sorts of things in there, but have no impact on anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's the you that he talks about when he's talking about the you. Okay.
And so that implies that pre-embodiment, there is a particular out there somewhere.
In a sense, yeah. I think it's you know, I look at it more at like a bunch of data and information, but that has the ability to hit different particles together, and out of that comes an emergent thought in some sense or way.
So that it seems, as you're saying that, I've got a sense of the data and information, it's not some stasis sitting out there with nothing happening.
Well, it's almost like that data and information is communioned.
It's communioned and it's in action all the time. It's not sitting out there waiting for something to happen.
Yes.
It is already happening, and what is emergent is this embodiment, and with the embodiment, a drive to be particular. Something like that.
Well, I think that what he's saying is the drive to be particular is before the embodiment.
Okay, sure, alrighty. That's important for me, to sort those things out in my own image. Okay.
Okay. Andrew?
K349. Originally, you as an eternal concept were a stirring in mind.
Which is what we were just talking about. Right.
Right, exactly. Right on cue. And then as a personal self, you were also an emergent expression or self-image of that concept. Now, as a personal being, you were bringing the promise of that concept alive and gaining emergent aspects far beyond anything you had ever conceived of or even dreamed of before. The universe was emergently sustaining and serving you and preparing the way as it does today. But it was offering you far more than that as well. It's interesting as I'm reading this. It sounds really good. I know a lot of us have lived this out in a form of struggle and been brought to life far more than we ever expected in that regard as well. I mean, it's the same concept. Is just in the form of struggle.
Everything you do.
How do you mean that?
I mean, in the same way that your greatest struggles reveal your finest assets, if you look through those struggles to what one is trying to be and live, you find it's an expression of their fineness, their promise, their truth, their love, their whatever, their concept, basically. Mm-hmm. Just in the form of maybe struggling to do it or struggling against doing it, or whatever those, you know, various ways we do it are, or doing it directly.
Okay.
Well, the opening parts of that passage are very, very specific to the question I was asking just a moment ago.
Yeah, it's funny how it came right after, and I didn't even look down there to see that, but yeah, that's pretty much saying the same thing I said.
Yep. Fabulous.
Okay, Karen, would you read for us, please?
350. As an eternal concept and promise, you were ever restless and discontent in mind and felt limited and restricted and wanted to express that concept and promise of yourself and bring yourself and your promise more fully alive in that way. Realizing yourself as an anointed one promised to actualize your beginning concept in the world around you and offers you a meaningful purpose and a direction in life to guide you in solemnly commending or becausing all things emergent as by fiat.
Be it.
Is that spelled properly?
I don't know.
I don't have any way to look up here. I don't know if it's F-I-A-T or F-E-A-T.
I think that's right.
Okay.
Which word are you?
Fiat.
Last word.
Huh?
F-E-A-T.
Ah, last one here.
Sorry, I'm looking it up. Dictionary.
Yeah, to me it makes sense if it's fiat, to, you know, by declaration or by order.
Right.
An act or accomplishment of great courage, skill, or an imagination, an achievement. F-E-A-T.
Oh, it is F-E-A-T.
Oh, but it says, how do you pronounce that? It's just F-E-T with a slash over the E?
Mm-hmm.
Last
word
that
means? It means a long E.
Feet.
Feet.
No, fiat is power. It's the granting or the acknowledgement of
authority. Oh, you're thinking fiat like the car.
Yeah, no. No, but a fiat is government by fiat, then you've got authority to govern.
Okay, well, maybe that's not what he meant here, because he used F-E-A-T. And direction in life.
Was that a matter of his writing, or is that actually what the letter was that he wrote?
You know, sometimes it was very hard for me to decipher.
Me too. That's what I'm asking.
His handwriting. So I must have looked it up. And
to guide you in solemnly commending or becausing all things emergent as by this word. As by an act of accomplishment of great courage, skill, and imagination, and achievement.
Hmm. Makes sense.
It does to me. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just not sure of the pronunciation.
So we'll all just read it to ourselves in our own way.
Hang on, it's going to feet. Feet, it says feet.
Yeah, I think it is feet.
Like bottom of your leg.
So when I translate it, it means somehow a piece of art. Is that in the sense of what is written?
No.
Not really, huh?
No, not really.
I remember this coming up once before and us talking about fiat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't remember the context.
had something to do with it. I recall, like, anyway, to me, it's in that area of my mind. It's about living by authority, mm-hmm. declaration, fiat.
Yeah, I think you're right, Andrew.
F-I-A-T.
Yeah, F-I-A-T, which is what this would be if that I was, E was an I.
By which a person in authority is sanctioned an authorization.
There you go.
Your pronouncement, it's the authority to be.
So I should put it down as F-I-A-T?
Yes.
At this point, it's as good a guess as any.
Okay.
I don't know that it dramatically changes the gist of what we're reading here. All of us read just a nuance on the thing, I think.
Yeah. Okay, who's up to deck? Is it me?
After yeah. Karen, yeah.
Emergent activities are not reserved for you as a personal being, nor for a privileged few, or everything around you is emergent to serve you. Is it possible you don't realize this because you are too busy looking and living within, where you believe you cause things just as you made them up to be, so you can experience things within your emotions? Oh, certainly you may cause images of what you desire and may cause feelings about those images as well. But realizing those images and feelings is an emergent action in your body and in the world around you. Okay. Patrick?
352. It isn't enough to be the reason for everything in your body and life. And this bit, I guess. Karen was signaling me. Isn't it enough to be the reason for everything in your body and life? Must you also be the causer? For causing distorts all of life and distracts you from fully being the anointed reason. Does it seem wise to continue in these ways? After all, though you think you cause things in mind or through minding, you don't even know how you cause that thought or any thought because you actually think emergently. You have to think emergently even to think of causing. Oh, that's not, that's a notion.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, I think where I really, really stumble is I don't think it's enough to be the reason I get engaged in wanting to cause as well.
Yep. And we all slip there. Okay, Sharon, would you read for us, please? Did we lose her?
Sharon, did
you hear? Are you here? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, can now.
Okay.
354?
353. 3, okay. So you see, emergent is not reserved for a privileged few. It is part of every sentient being and every thoughtful person. Not every moment.
No, at every moment.
At every moment. Is it possible you are fearful of being the reason for everything in your body, mind, and life? Why might that be? After all, we've described about your struggles to realize the concept that is you as a self-image in a fully supportive universe that prepares the way for you and emergent your desires
do you really believe you are in any way unacceptable to this universe? Also, be aware that you do not offer reasons to the universe, for the world around you doesn't even care about the reason you offer, simply because you are a sufficient reason just as you are. So you can say to the world, let us be the reason together. So I guess that's our group.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I like that.
Because we are.
Okay, 354, Simone.
Aware fully realizing the eternal nature of the body as your eternal soul, which embodies you as an eternal being, realizing the greater concept of yourself as an anointed personal being, eternal being, carrying a tremendous concept you can form for the world around you. Realizing the recurring nature of eternal. Realizing the eternal emergent nature of the universe that responds unconditionally to you being the reason for everything in your body and life. Realizing the entanglement nature of the universe and the open access this offers you through time and space to the plenary wisdom of the universe. Begin transfiguring every belief and concept you have of yourself to a resplendent, illuminated being. And that is you. Can I read it again?
If you desire.
Aware fully realizing the eternal nature of your body as your eternal soul, which embodies you as an eternal being, realizing the greater concept of yourself as an anointed personal being, eternal being, carrying a tremendous concept of you can form for the world around you. Realizing the recurring nature of eternal. Realizing the emergent nature of the universe that responds unconditionally to you being the reason. For everything in your body and life. Realizing the entanglement nature of the universe and the open access this offers you through time and space to the plenary wisdom of the universe. Begin transfiguring every belief and concept you have to yourself to a resplendent illuminated being, and that is you.
Pretty powerful.
Yes, very powerful.
Okay.
The emergent is very powerful.
Yeah. It is. Very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the most important things I think that we need to get a good, firm understanding of.
Yeah, Roger once told me that like emergent was the whole crux of everything, and if we didn't get that,
that's right. It's the whole foundation.
There wasn't
of everything.
Anything different. Yeah.
It's the whole foundation. Yep.
He didn't just tell me that. Of course, he yelled it at me.
Oh, did he?
So I knew he meant it. I knew he meant it.
Okay. You knew it. All right.
I think it's a very, very nice concept, because you can put slowly and consistently things into your life that you truly desire, and the rest is emergent. Yeah. Comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just them, or, yeah. You don't have to have it all in once. Is it understandable what I'm saying?
Yep. Okay. Andrew?
355. The universe has prepared a great deal more to show you and offer you. But before giving these, let's take a giant leap into the past and summarize the emergent particularizations of you that we have presented.
Okay, so what we'll do is just each person take one, and we'll just keep passing it around, okay?
Oh, that's a big one.
Okay. Which bullet point? The fifth one down. Or the fourth one down.
Okay, Karen, you get that in the first dot.
Okay, so just the first dot.
Yep.
Okay. Emergent particularizations of you. Once upon a nonce time, as a condition, you were everything yet nothing. Nothing particular or significant, and you could not be known or even distinguished.
So that's the mind stuff that we were talking about. Okay. From random stirrings of this condition, you coalesced as a concept, and you sensed yourself as a concept. But what concept were you?
Emergent from sensing yourself and living as a concept was a self-image or personal self.
A physical body was prepared for you by your body's parents.
Emergent from the communion, your personal self or self-image and the body prepared for you, you became a personal being. You are here.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Okay. Through the awareful communion personal being and the eternal history of your body's ancestors, an eternal self will be obviously emergent.
Karen?
I lost my spot. Through the intentions, awarenesses, and actions of your body, though not fully understood, your eternal self will be embodied as an eternal being. Actually, your physical body is your eternal being, and is your eternal soul.
Okay. Through the interactions of a communion personal being, eternal being, / body, a resplendent, illuminated being is to be emergent.
Through all of these entangled awarenesses and emergent changes, as you became more definite and distinguishable as you desire, your original state as a condition of godness may be abandoned, though merely being formed, configured, and particularized, you may still be too involved with personal pleasures, striving, discontentment, to recognize that your original concept as a condition of godness is the truth and essence of every particularization of yourself and life.
I'm surprised. Hang on a second. I want to pause here just a second. I'm surprised he said your original concept as a condition of godness. I would have thought he'd said your original concept as a personal being.
But he doesn't say your original concept. He says your original state as a condition of godness. Maybe abandoned.
Original state, yeah.
What? I guess I'm looking at the end of the last three lines of that. Domain form configured in particular.
Oh, that's your original. Oh, down by the discontentment. To recognize that your original concept as a condition of godness is the truth and essence of every particularization of yourself in life. And what
because up above that page in the second bullet point down, the second whole bullet point down, it says emergent from sensing yourself as living concept was a self-image or personal self. I'm just saying it took me by surprise. I'm not necessarily arguing that point at all.
I just want to make sure that you're comfortable with it and understand it.
Don't understand it, but we can go on.
Okay, what is it you don't understand?
You know, to me, condition of godness was whatever it is you are, it's like even more than, it's bigger than. We never really got into defining that so much, and nor did I think he did here.
No, I don't think he did too much of the condition of godness. I don't think that was spoken about much at all. So I don't know how to help you with this.
Okay. That's okay. I just wanted to check.
Okay.
As you bring your particularization to the awareness, you will finally live self-evidently as you truly and naturally are again. So this time, you will be particular and distinguishable as you truly desire, and have success to everything you desire.
And have access.
To everything you desire. And in that, you will realize the concept of yourself and shine as brightly as the stars, so all of the universe can see you and follow your example.
Okay, all my little star beings. You're up, Andrew.
No.
Shall I go on?
Oh, Simone is up.
Okay, 356. In any return to your original state of oneness with all things is not particularized and personalized. You will again be lost as an unrealized concept or condition, or as indicated by some early teachings. You will exist again in a state of unconsciousness or deep sleep, which means you will exist without any real awareness or consciousness of your existence or of the world around you. Is that future you desire for yourself? To be lost in a state again?
To be lost in this state again.
In this state again?
No, thank you.
I like to be particularized.
Andrew?
357. The idea of transcending your present self and existence and returning home to your beginning is not so desirable, is it? For you will not exist as an illuminated or enlightened being. but as a condition of being something that is nothing, which is what you gave up in the first place in order to be significant, or to be something. Does being something that is nothing sound like paradise or heaven to you? Especially since the universe offers you the opportunity to be whatever you personally desire, and through entanglements, give you complete access across time and space to everything else. And that is truly significant, for in this, you do not return to a source, you become a source. Now that's awesome. Is that what that squiggly line's about into there?
Squiggly line. Oh, yeah.
Did you add that, or was that in Roger there?
I added it.
Sweet. And illumination.
But that's such a powerful, you do not return to a source, you become a source. To me, that's
right.
Just
that makes so much sense.
So powerful.
And that's the whole emergent thing you've been talking about.
Yep. Okay, Karen.
358. Have you ever declared, I don't know who I am, and I don't know what I want, but I do know this isn't it?
Sure.
I can attest to that.
Me too.
359. If we speak of you and your body, have we spoken of you? If we talk about your attitudes and emotions, and your desires and experiences, of your beliefs and thoughts, and your words and actions, and even of your birth and death, have we spoken of you? Are you all of these things? If so, is this all you are? If not, who are you? What else are you? Or is it possible you are none of these things? That these things are just a few of the dynamic processes of the universe that enable you to be and live as you truly desire, but who or what is using those dynamic processes?
The plot thickens.
Misty, I have an OCD question for you.
OCD?
Obsessive compulsive disorder thing. What is that design on above 358? Is there a name for that?
That's called a flourish.
A flourish.
A flourish.
Okay.
Are you referring to design above?
Yeah, I called it a squiggly, but that's not what it is. It's a flourish.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Patrick.
Patrick?
360, are you a spiritual being? If so, what is a spiritual being? And if you cannot answer that, maybe you're not a spiritual being after all.
That's neat and tidy.
Mm-hmm.
361. We have a suspicion you'd tell us who you are, if you could. So maybe your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, and your desires and experiences are direct expressions of the self you are.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. 362. Your body is composed of trillions of tiny cells. What is that word?
That's not a word.
Oh, did it get misspelled in there?
It's a typo.
Oh, okay. See, I have the original
what?
Thing.
Maybe it's a
what?
Dirty word.
It's
a rhyming word.
Little being. Each one of which is which. I would say which.
It
correct.
Is which. Each one of which is a sentient little being.
Yeah. Okay. It's a sentient little being. Is it possible you are a sentient being composed of many, many selves?
Selves.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sure.
Keep going. I got to go get a bird. So you guys keep going.
Okay, 363. The gross.
Oh,
warmest,
just
conscious.
A moment.
Go ahead.
That we are many, many selves. This comes out of the Asava ideas too. That each cell is a belief. Yeah. So each belief is a little sentient being. Yeah. Maybe. Well.
Good thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. Food for thought.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
Exactly.
363, the gross form of consciousness that inhibits awareness, self-realization, and your illuminated resplendence is languaging. This does not mean that language itself is a problem. It's not. But believing, thinking, speaking, and acting your language, being and living your language, and limiting yourself and life to the structure and concepts of language is certainly a problem. For you are far more expansive and extensive than your languaging allows you to be. But unfortunately, you don't understand what you are doing to yourself through languaging. It's true, I don't.
Unfortunately so.
Often.
Mm-hmm. 364. You cannot resolve your problems by changing your language, nor by denying language to awareness, which is what meditation and religious faith would have you do. But you can use language as it was originally intended to communicate by describing your beliefs and awarenesses in self-sufficient words and speaking of what you know and are living in the same way.
Okay, what are we up to?
Up to you.
The lion is in the jungle tonight. Okay. This communicated awareness is composed only of self-sufficient words, free of adjectives, adverbs, active verbs, and pronouns, which, though these aspects of language were intended to help you communicate clearly, actually only obscure understanding and communication and defeat you.
Mm-hmm. 366. Meditation, originally taught as preparation for death, was adopted by Buddhists as a way to experience living as an enlightened being. But unfortunately, meditation was misused as a pathway to reach enlightenment. In much the same way, languaging changed form, changed from describing your way of life to becoming a way of life, to become a way of life itself.
Itself.
Hmm. 367. A languaged way of believing and living imposes all sorts of pains, problems, ailments, and limitations on you, distorts the self and life you are living, and withholds the universe from you. all of which results in your struggling against the self and life you are creating and living.
Hmm. 368. Your language is founded on opposing dualities. You are not. Neither is life. The structure of language gives you a completely false sense of yourself and life. And, out of habit and nothing knowing otherwise, you trust the limitations of language or yourself and life, and then struggle endlessly to free yourself from those self-imposed language distortions and limitations, and call that living. Does that make any sense to you? No, but it is a habit sometimes.
Well, that's what they do in my insane asylum.
Huh? I didn't hear you.
I'm just saying that's what they do in my insane asylum. I'm being funny. Mm-hmm. Not so.
Mm. 369. One way to avoid the suffocating grasp of languaging is to believe and think in images and describe those images. Image yourself in life. Do not create and live as languaged self in life.
Be aware of the trap.
370. Despite appearances, there is no intention in the universe, or even in the world around you. All events are random, which means events are without intention, but they are not chaotic. Were it otherwise, any intention of the universe would control you, and you would be victimized by that control and intention.
Okay, 371. Unfortunately, it is frequently declared that if you understand things and events in life, they are just as they are. And if you do not understand matters, they are still just as they are. And this is true of yourself as well. At which point, many, many individuals claim that, know yourself or not, the self you know or seek to know is merely an illusion of mind, and you wholeheartedly believe and struggle endlessly with these conflicts and yourself in life. Everything you do is influenced by this struggle.
So is that saying, it is what it is?
It's that old thing, you know, you can call a horse by many names, but it's still a horse.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. 372. What is life all about? Do you know? Who are you? And what is your life all about? Why are you alive? Will you live on after this life? And if so, in what form and life? Do you have a desirable image of yourself and satisfactory answers to these questions? If not, let's look closely and carefully at your most distressing, long-lasting concern. Does life and the universe ever act against you?
To begin, you must understand that things, yourself included, are not the way they are. Well, actually, you and things around you are the way they are, but they are also random, meaning without intention, which means you can make yourself and all things you desire them to be. Have you made yourself and life impossible by ignoring this? Or maybe you didn't know this. Well, let's continue.
Though what you do may be intentional, what you do may be intentional, the effects, reactions, or after actions of your intentional actions are random to another. In other words, though an individual action to you are intentions for that person, those actions are random for you, and random in the universe to be particularized and personalized as you desire. Therefore, if you judge the person's actions, you are actually judging your own particularizations. Okay?
Yeah, that's a fact.
We have you there, Andrew?
Andrew?
I was just taking that in.
Okay, that's fine.
It just made me think of a particular... I remember this particular moment at a gathering where everybody was so upset at Roger or something, and it was like, I just think about this, you know, everybody was just judging our own particularizations and kind of missed, I think, what he was getting at or driving at. I think about that sometimes, so I was just grabbing there. 375, you may intend to act intentionally for or against another person. But no matter what you do, your intention for or against another person, your intention ends with the action. Everything after that is random. And if you understand this, you must also understand that you cannot act intentionally for or against yourself either. Well, that's interesting.
So we dwell on that one for a moment.
Okay,
we dwell on that one.
Yeah, dwell. I like dwelling.
Dwell away.
That is this, that last bit. That
that's the one.
Understand that you cannot act intentionally for or against yourself. Because the transition above in that passage is, I may act intentionally, or I intend to act intentionally, but that intention ends with my action. That action, everything after, is random, and it's the other that I'm intending against is free to put any meaning they want on it. Now, can I intentionally act for or against myself? I get puzzled by that. It seems like there's no separation there. But perhaps there is. So I can think I'm acting intentionally for or against myself. But the suggestion here is that upon completion of the action, that it becomes random again.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
It's like you can't cause something for yourself.
Can't cause, but also that the next moment completely replaces the previous moment. That intentional, apparently intentional action is done and over with, and in the new moment, it's become random again.
Absolutely.
It was random all along.
Yeah, and you particularize all that stuff anew.
That's right. Yeah, okay. I've got that then.
You ready to go on?
I believe so.
376. Certainly, it would not surprise you to also learn that all spiritual teachings are random as well, meaning they were intentional at their inception, but are random or unintentional to you today, for you to particularize and personalize as you desire. And though this sounds truly bizarre, it's true of everything.
Somebody spitting seeds in a cherry bowl or something? Okay, Doug.
Okay, Doug. You're okay. Okay. So, the last statement was, it's true of everything in the universe. I didn't hear in the universe. That's for the recording. 377. All of your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and action are random, as are your desires and experiences, which enables you to particularize and personalize them in your body and life as you truly desire. Now, what self and life have you struggled endlessly and unsuccessfully to create in the past? And what inspiring self and life will you particularize and personalize now? And what will you do with that self and life? A lot of questions in there.
But that's the pertinent issue. Yeah, you can't act for or against yourself with what you'll do.
Yep.
With whatever you got now. I think what's interesting about that is it doesn't matter whether you made choices you desire or choices you didn't desire up to now. It's whatever you do with them at this moment that's everything.
Which is a constituent of the next moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think that there are no advantages in life. I think we talked about that before, but then that would also mean there's no disadvantages in life. It's all dependent on what you're willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what you put into life.
Yep.
Absolutely. Mm. That determines everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, really, is it, you get an insight there about, I'm thinking about those people who've just come up from, you know, we all look at these stories of like, oh, wow, what an amazing person. They came up from poverty and disadvantage and nothing, and look where they are today, you know. And then that says a whole lot about the person, not their circumstances.
Absolutely.
And you've also got people who've got everything and end up, you know, living skid row even though they have everything.
Yep.
Either way, says a lot about the person or what they're doing anyway. Sorry, just dwelling there a minute, as Pat said. You can go on.
Okay. 378. If you believe in good and evil, what intention preceded that belief? What intention precedes an experience? Maybe your life is far more random than you thought. Is that any way to live the self and life you truly desire? Maybe it is. For while you can seldom intentionally create what you want or what you think you want, You can certainly particularize and personalize any event or thing or condition as you truly desire. But unfortunately, it seems you believe that living intentionally means for you to cause what you intend, then compare the results with what you intended. This is actually judging the results.
And Pat, that reminds me of what you said or the first thing tonight.
Yep, it certainly does.
You can certainly particularize and personalize any event or thing or condition as you truly desire. I just stop it there.
Isn't that fabulous? Unfortunately, I at times think I can intentionally cause what I intend. That's
okay.
A huge thing. Huge, huge, huge.
Man, I tell you what, wish they taught us that in school.
Yeah, don't you?
Yeah, really, it'd change a lifetime right there, that one idea.
Exactly.
And it just takes accuse and blame right out of every equation.
Okay, Sharon, would you read the next one, please?
379.
Yes.
I'm speaking of all events and things and conditions as random, which you can particularize and personalize as you truly desire. Have you ever considered that you have always done exactly that unknowingly all of your life? All your life? And then you judge what you had done?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
380. Is it possible for you to consider that the universe ahead of you, such that every event is past and is unintentionally random for you to remember, particularize and personalize as you desire? Is that too difficult for you to believe? Listen carefully.
I think there's a word missing there.
Yeah, I put it in. It is.
I think it's, yeah,
where?
Anything is.
Oh, okay.
You got it?
Yeah, you go ahead of you. Okay.
Shall I read you again?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Is it possible for you to consider that the universe is ahead of you, such that every event is past and is unintentionally random for you to remember, particularize and personalize as you desire? Is that too difficult for you to believe? Listen carefully. So, every event is random, and how I feel about it is my particularization.
Yep.
That's what it says here, huh? Yep. Okay.
I really like that statement, such that every event is past.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been aware of that experience from time to time. But you encourage us to listen as we read on.
Andrew?
Is it me? Okay, hang on a second. Hang on a second, please. 381, since all things in the universe are mind, give some serious thought to there being a physical or earth time based on this planet orbiting the sun, which is measured by vibrations of a cesium atom, and this time is an active force in your body and life. But there is also mind time acting as a force in your mind.
Everybody remember mind time?
Nope.
No.
Some of you bars.
Okay, so mind time is like, for me, I could have an experience that, let's say, I'm in a car crash and all of a sudden everything goes really, really slow. Okay, that's mind time for me, versus that we still know that it's going according to the cesium clock.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Is that the same as or similar to nonce time?
Very much so.
Is there a difference? I have a hunch there is, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
I have a hunch there is,
well,
but I can't
put... Well, I think of mind time, the way Misty described it, is my experience of time.
Right.
Ah,
and
very good.
And then nonce time, I think of how I, where my attention is. My attention may be on the last split second or the last 40 years, and that each one of those is a nonce. So it's just a little bit different context to me. It's a nonce.
I go with that.
Okay, Karen, you're on.
Misty, can you say again what you said to mind time?
Mind time, that for us, a certain situation makes something seem really fast or really slow for us. But time is really going on consistently. But we think that, like, if we're having an accident, like they say, everything goes into slow motion. And you have all these thoughts going on and everything going on. It seems like a very long time. Like if you're falling off a ladder or something. Seems like a long time down to the ground. And you've had all these thoughts go through your mind. But that's because you're in mind time.
Yeah.
Actually, I read ahead, and I think he's speaking of something other than that.
Maybe.
Peter. Want me to read
okay.
Ahead? Okay. 382. The speed of light based on Earth time is a slowpoke in mind time. But regrettably, you have slowed the speed of your mind to mouth speed, which is the speed at which you think your language.
In your language.
Slowpoke.
Yeah, so the mind time that he's talking about is how fast we can think.
That's right.
And a slow poke is boring somehow.
Well, slow poke is just really, really slow.
Okay. 383. It seems you may not only limit your awareness to languaging and also reduce the speed of your mind to languaging. Now, certainly you understand that of listening with your eyes and thinking in images, you don't limit your awareness to language or slow your thinking to mouth speed. Patrick?
Hey, 384. 1 minute of mind time is sufficient time for a rose, a rise and flower, and fade, for a rise and flower and fade away. For long is 14 billion light years in Earth time.
How long?
How long? How long is 14 billion years in Earth time? Do you know? Even if you give me an answer in Earth time, you still don't know how long that is. And you certainly don't know how long it is in mind time. Emphasizing that mind time is incredibly fast.
Yep.
/385 Events in the world around you occur randomly, without intention. However, by the time you sense an event, send a message to your brain, and process that message at mouse speed, the event is past. And at mind speed, it is long past, such that you have
put a D on it.
The original event into memory, and in sensing what occurred, you are now recalling and reassembling the event, or particularizing and personalizing the event from memories as you desire that event to be. And though that occurred in a second of Earth time, that was quite an extended mind time process, such that your mind speed brain hardly realizes happened. Mouse speed brain hardly realizes what happened and continues reacting to events as though nothing unusual has occurred.
Pretty amazing.
If you are aware in an anger moment like that, well.
Okay, Simone.
No. 386. Whenever you react, you are always reacting to the past. Does it make sense to continue that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's where I'm going to stop for this evening.
Because
we're coming around to the front again.
And you read it like this, you say, oh, really not, but you trap yourself sometimes. I trap myself sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you left us on a cliffhanger. Okay.
I'm thinking that we're probably going to back up a little bit next week and get it and ease ourselves back into this again. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
You all, rather rousing evening. This thing on random, it really reminded me of, like, you know, like, I could just hear Roger presenting this one, you know, like on an old Monday night, he'd just come up with all these, I don't know. I could hear this one.
Yeah.
The random stuff? Or?
I don't think it ever, was it ever presented before?
Yep.
Oh, was?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's why it sounds like it. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.